If you turn in your Bibles with me, we're going to look at the first epistle of John. If you're using the black Bibles in the church, it's on page 1478. 1478. So I'm going to be reading from chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm going to read the first four verses. Hear the word of the Lord. It says that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, that which we contemplated and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life has been manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and report to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has been manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we report to you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is indeed with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we to you, that your joy may be full. Amen. What is Christianity about? Most people don't really know that much, if we're honest, what Christianity is about, do they? They don't really know what being a Christian means. Some and most people, they kind of have an understanding. It has something to do with God. It has something to do with believing in Jesus. Some people think it's just an organisation, the church. Most commonly, some people just think it's like every other religion, like Islam, like Hinduism. But Christianity, at its core, is completely unique compared to every other religion, in that it's centered on one man and one God, that is Christ Jesus. The answer to the question, what is Christianity about, is actually quite a simple one. It's all about Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus in Scripture. That is what Christianity is about. And there's been many fake Christs in the world. Many. Many people have come claiming they're the Christ. And they've had many people been deceived. And they've had many people ended up following them. But the message we proclaim in this church is the same message that Jesus himself proclaimed. And it's the same message that the apostles built the foundations of the church upon. In this passage that we're looking through today, it's written by a man called John. John was a very, very close friend of Jesus. He was an eyewitness of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And what he wants from us today is to know the real Jesus. And that Christianity is indeed real. It's authentic. Let's look at verse 1 together. It says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, that which we contemplated and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. Now, just as a mean of context here, to help us understand this passage just a little bit more, the people that John has been writing to have been influenced by this group that say that Jesus wasn't a man. They may have thought, okay, yeah, he could have been God, or he came in the spirit of God, but he wasn't a man. And like today, many people have many false ideas about Jesus. It's gone from the very beginning all the way until now. And this is very, very serious, because you get Jesus wrong, you've got the gospel wrong. The person of Jesus and the message of Jesus cannot be separated. It's very, very important that we get Jesus right. And John wants them to know that Jesus was a man. He says to them, "We have heard, we have seen with our eyes. We have contemplated, our eyes have handled." Now let's look at these four clauses. The first of the clauses, John tells us that they heard him. They, I'm referring to, and when John says we, I think that he's referring to himself and the other apostles. They heard Jesus' teaching. They heard his teaching on the parables. They heard the greatest sermon the world has ever seen, the Sermon on the Mount. They even heard Jesus predicting his own death to them and his own resurrection. And they knew that what they heard had come true. Every single thing that Jesus said to them and they heard, it came true. In the second clause, it says that they have seen with their eyes. Not only did they hear his message, they see him perform many, many wonderful miracles with their eyes. They see him bring the dead back to life. They see him walk on water. They see him cast demons out from people. They see him do many, many things. They even see him resurrected from the dead. And at one stage, they got to see his glory on a mountaintop. The third clause, John says, that they contemplated. This means they studied him. They didn't just take what he said. They analysed him. They wanted to gather more of him. They thought seriously about what they were seeing and what they were hearing. And they followed Jesus intensely. They contemplated him. They didn't take it lightly. The last clause said that they touched him. You can't get much more personable with somebody than actually touching them, can you? I mean, most people, when they want to know if something's real, they want to touch it. You know, it actually reminded me of a time when Jesus appeared. I think it was in John 20, maybe 24, I could be wrong. But Jesus appeared, and one of his disciples, I think it was Thomas, he was doubting. And Jesus said in his new resurrected body, "Touch me. Touch me. I'm real." Some people even thought he was a ghost at one point. "But touch me," he said. "See that I'm real. See the scars and the marks that are there. I am your saviour. I am real." John swears it. He swears Jesus is real. And John knew that he indeed was a man. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it. Notice John talks about Jesus being from the beginning in verse 1. If you know your Bible, there should be a little police siren in your head in the beginning, because we hear it in another one of John's writings, John's biography, if you like, of Jesus, the Gospel of John. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, referring to Jesus, and that that Word was God. Could even be, if you know your Bible even better, there might be another little alarm bell. This one's going to take you back even further to Genesis, the book of origins, where it says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is man. But yet Jesus is God. He was there, Jesus, before everything ever existed. Before anything ever existed. When we were not, he was still there. Before anything. Eternity past. It's hard to grasp, but it's important that Jesus is both God and man. Not 50-50. He's 100% man and 100% God. And if you find that hard to comprehend, good. Because I can't comprehend it either. And some things that are a mystery should just remain a mystery. But it's necessary that we believe the whole Christ. You get Jesus wrong, you get the message wrong. There is no salvation in a fake and phony Christ. Without Christ, there is no Christianity. John refers to Jesus here as the Word of life. And it's true. Because only God can bring life. He creates life. He sustains life. He is the one in which eternal life comes. And this God, look at verse 2, has been manifested. He's appeared. This God has appeared in space and time. John bears witness to him, he says. He 100% testified, and he wants to report it or proclaim it to us. Because that's what you do with good news. That's what you do with the gospel. You don't keep it to yourself, this little personal faith. No, you shout it to the heavens. It's news that we proclaim, and it's good news. And it's good news. And like John, we believe that it is 100% true. John wants the people to have eternal life with Jesus. But he knows that they have to believe the facts about Jesus. He says 3 times in the first 3 verses, we have seen, we have seen, we have seen. You know, the New Testament wasn't written by the random Joe blogs around the corner. It was written by people that knew Jesus personally. And if they didn't know Jesus personally, then they were closely associated with those that were. Mark, for example. Where does he get his information from? Well, most people know and agree it's Peter, again, another person like John that was very intimate with Jesus. And not only that, people like John, in proclaiming this news, put themselves in danger. They risked their lives proclaiming this message of life, this message of forgiveness in Christ. Why? Because they believed it's absolutely true. I mean, you must be bonkers if you think that... you would be bonkers to be preaching something that was fake and untrue, risking your life. To them, they were sure of what they knew. Because they see it. They knew Jesus. John's convinced because John knows Jesus. Do you know Jesus? That's the question. Do you know Jesus? Do you believe him to be true? Do you know there is life, eternal life, to be found with Jesus? And you can have him. The right response to knowing these things about Jesus is to repent. Repent of your sins and turn to God. Believe in him. Turn from your sin. Turn from your rebellion towards God. And trust in his son Jesus. That's the right response to knowing the facts about Jesus. And we can have fellowship with Jesus and our Father in heaven. Do you know that? Look at verse 3. Let's look at it together. It says, that which we have seen and heard, we report to you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is indeed with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This fellowship, John proclaims, is that we can have with one another, and not just one another, but we can have it with our God and Saviour. Fellowship is, it's more than just meeting together. It's more than just sharing a meal together. But it's a commitment to one another and a commitment to God. I read this, I thought I'd share it with you, because the person describes what fellowship is so well. It says, it describes the unity of the Spirit that comes from Christians' shared beliefs, convictions, and behaviours. When those values are in place, genuine biblical fellowship occurs. This fellowship, this is the results where it produces our mutual cooperation in God's worship, God's work, and God's will being done in this world. That is what fellowship is about. Committed to one another and committed to God. And that's what we preach for. We preach so that people can have this fellowship with God. We want people to have this fellowship with God. But it only exists because Jesus made it possible. You see, when we come into this world, we're enemies of God. We're warring against him. We don't naturally come into this world and love God. We naturally come into this world and we're rebellious against God. But God, in his great mercy, in his great love, sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to forgive us of our sins. And in doing so, he creates peace. He creates peace between man and God. God's anger is no longer towards us. His wrath is no longer hanging over us. But instead, through Jesus, we're reconciled to God. in Jesus, we can have that sweet, sweet fellowship with Jesus. It's a lovely word, reconciliation, in the Bible. A lovely word. Reconciliation's really when you've got two parties and they're kind of at war with each other. But the reconciliation is making it right. Sorting it out. And that's what Jesus does. He sorts everything out for us. Because he deals with the thing that's most deeply wrong with us. Sin. The sin that's in the heart. And when I talk about sin, I don't mean it in a way it's just of the wrong things that we do. I mean that we're completely rebellious towards God. That's your biggest problem if you're an unbeliever. Your enemies with God. Yeah, you do bad things too. Yeah, you are a sinner, but your main importance is you need to get yourself right with God. Amen. And that can only be done because of the blood of Jesus. That's why Jesus is important, isn't it? That's what I've been saying. Got to get Jesus right. We don't have no false Jesus in this church. We don't deal with that. We only deal with the true Jesus, the biblical Jesus. We deal with the Jesus that John knows and has met and has seen with his eyes. And if he was in Britain in today, he would have sipped a cup of tea with Jesus. He knew Jesus ever so well. If there's no fellowship with Jesus, there is no church. We might as well just call it a social club. We have Jesus in our Bibles. We have the whole Jesus. And as I said at the beginning, what is Christianity all about? I hope you know by now. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. To finish, John tells us why he's writing these things in verse 4. To make our joy full. Who would have thought? Loving the Saviour, having eternal life, having fellowship with one another, having fellowship with God, would cause us to be joyful. Who would have thought that, eh? Of course we should be joyful. All that Jesus has done for us, and when we begin to realise that and truly comprehend that, who wouldn't be full of joy? What a wonderful Saviour Jesus is. What a beautiful Saviour Jesus is. He sacrificed. We talked about this earlier. He sacrificed himself on the cross. He took his own life. For idiots like me, I know it's bonkers, isn't it? But we're all in this mess together, humans. The only way we can get out of it is by trusting in Jesus. And walking with Jesus all the days of your life. I love reading John. Because when I read John, there's so much passion in his letters. There's so much love. Because he wants you to know his Saviour. Mm-hmm. He wants you to know what he's seen. What he's heard. Mm-hmm. What he's contemplated. And what he's touched. He wants you to have all of Jesus. Do you know what? I just want to encourage everybody. Christian or not a Christian. Read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. The bigger picture we have of Jesus, the better our fellowship with one another will be. The better we'll walk with God. And indeed, you will be full of joy. But we've got to know that Jesus. That's the thing. We've got to believe in him. We've got to trust in him. But that's why I encourage us, read our Bibles. Come to know this Jesus. Come. It's an invitation to fellowship with your God.